Hello, everyone. I'm Charles, and we're back again for another year of talking about the Oscars. This year, I decided I wanted to be a little bit more low-key. I've realized that in the past, when I've done like all the research on it and, you know, came up with who won the BAFTA and who won the Golden Globe and the director's gun, all that stuff, I mean, it somewhat takes the fun out of it. It makes predicting it a little easier, but honestly, I don't know how you feel about this, Nathan, and Nathan is my guest this particular podcast. He's been, I think you've done it with me. Have you done it once or twice now with me for the Oscars?
Yeah, just once.
Okay. Well, so I decided this year that I wanted to just more talk about how we felt and try to just say what we think about the movies. And we're just going to talk about the 10 Best Picture nominees. And I'm really excited because there's actually 10. There's not always 10 in this category, even though they can choose 10. And I always think that's an insult to the ones they don't pick. But we're going to talk about the 10. Nathan has not seen all of them yet. He's still working on it. No, I have seen all 10. In fact, I'm just finished the 10th one. I just finished Past Lives. But we're going to go very quickly on this. So it may not help you win as much because, again, we're not doing all the research. But I was going to say that I think there's too many award shows now. Is it just me?
No, it's a lot.
It kind of takes the prestige out of the Oscars when they're the last in the kind of award season. Because, you know, you've got the SAG awards, which are feeding heavily into this year because for the best actress, especially from what I'm reading, it's like it's a big toss up between Emma Stone and Lily Gladstone.
Is that? Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, let's I will just off the top of this before we start, we're going to go down each of the 10 and just kind of briefly talk about them. But off the top, out of the you've seen six of the 10, Nathan?
Yes.
Out of the six you've seen, which is your favorite?
Oh, just my personal favorite?
Yeah.
Well, I think this might sound weird, but I loved Barbie. When I think of the year 2023, it'll be Barbie. I think it's the movie that probably people will be talking about most in the coming years. Totally understand why I don't think it will win Best Picture. So that's the most memorable. But out of the other ones on the list, I'll talk about more, but I was pretty high on The Holdovers.
Really? Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. And it's funny to talk about Barbie because, you know, it's Barbenheimer, really, because of the year, this right. weird year we're in. But there's the whole thing about how, you know, people were complaining that, you know, it didn't get Greta Gerwig didn't get nominated for Best Director. Mm-hmm. You know, Margot Robbie didn't get nominated for Actress. And I kind of hate that because that fails to take into account that they each still did get nominated for Oscars. Margot Robbie produced Barbie, so she's nominated. Greta Gerwig is nominated in Best Screenplay, but they wouldn't let her do original screenplay. That's kind of a weird thing, too. So it had to be adapted, even though there's no Barbie movie and it was original. So, but yeah, that kind of takes away, you know, America Ferrera is also nominated. So it's not like women weren't nominated or respected, but the movie we talked about this before. Barbie, I feel like, wasn't just like what people expected. It wasn't a cheesy kids movie, and at the other end of the spectrum, it wasn't really this like feminist anti-man movie either. So that's the whole thing. But okay, we're gonna go alphabetically, and we're gonna start with two that Nathan has not seen, just because that's how we do things. We're gonna start with American Fiction.
Yeah,
and I recently saw this one. It's a comedy, and as my wife will say, not many of the Oscars are comedies. They're usually depressing and dark and weird and downbeat movies. This is a pretty funny movie. It's a satirical look at Hollywood in the fact that a black author, his books aren't really selling well in it. And out of being sarcastic and just kind of sick of the whole system, he writes a book that is very stereotypical of African-American men. And like, he just writes like to the lowest common denominator, writes the most stereotypical book he can about them. And he hates it. He sees it as a joke, but that ends up being the book that everybody wants. It ends up making him a ton of money. But it's also more than just that. It feeds into the culture because it's all the white people are going to be publishing, promoting the book. They're all thinking it's like a real experience, like it's coming from a real person, a real black man. And and all these things. So they're feeding into it, and he feels guilty because he's making money off of doing that. The question in the movie is like, what image of these different groups is being portrayed, and thus which ones become the most dominant view of them? Is it harming his culture? And is it okay to take money from that? Like I said, it's probably out of these, it's probably the funniest, one of the funniest movies. But yeah, I just did Sterling K. Brown's character. I just expected, I guess I expected more of, but Jeffrey Wright is really great in it. So I liked it, but it's definitely out of these, it's definitely not my favorite, but it was good to see a comedy.
Right.
I expect that this could win screenplay, as the screenplay was really clever. I thought, I don't know. I think it's based on a book. So I'm assuming this is under best adapted screenplay, if I'm not mistaken.
So, yes, that's correct.
So I expect I expect this one will win that. But yeah, I don't think Sterling K. Brown will win. Anyway, okay, let's move on to the next one, which is, I believe, Anatomy of a Fall.
Yes. Sorry. Once again, another one.
Right. As I was gonna say, the Charles first two off the bat.
Yeah, Charles is wondering why he invited me on to this thing.
Not at all. When we get to the ones, it'll be a good discussion. So Anatomy of a Fall, I had read nothing about. I really liked it as well. It's about a man who falls out of like the third floor of his house. And so the whole thing is about, did his wife push him, or was he so depressed that it was a suicide? And it's about the courtroom drama, and it's in France. And so what was really interesting to me is, I guess I don't really know much about France's legal system. I was under the impression that we borrowed a lot of their court system and a lot from the UK as well. But it seems like theirs is completely different, but theirs is certainly different from ours. And for one, are there no juries in France?
I don't know.
Because basically what it is, it's basically like two lawyers kind of almost they're like stage play almost, like they're giving their sides of the case and talking and trying to make good points to like the crowd, like to the people in attendance for the trial. And it's a court drama, and it's just very interesting, but it's also about relationships and how you say hurtful things and taking out of context that could, you know, sound like you were really going to kill someone, or you say something else and it could sound like you were really going to commit suicide. And so it's all these things out of context, removed from that. What do they mean? And in a lot of ways, it's about culture, and it's about giving up certain parts of your life and compromising. And there's a lot of things at stake in it. And I thought it was interesting. Not my favorite, but I liked it. I don't think she'll win. I don't actually predict this winning. I can't all remember the categories it is, but I don't think it'll win Best Picture regardless, and I don't think she'll win Best Actress. Okay, so let's move on. We're going to go to Barbie. We both have said our opinion on this movie. I loved Barbie. It's hard because it was one of my favorites of the year as well.
Right.
It would be awesome if it won. I don't think it will win.
No,
it's unfortunate, but I would love for Ryan Gosling to win, but I don't think he will either. I'm not sure out of all these, I'm not sure what it would take home. What do you think?
I think maybe possibly a production design. Maybe I feel like it'll win at least one of those subcategories, and that will be kind of, you know, but to me, even though I know, like you mentioned, like Greta Gerwig kind of getting quote unquote snubbed and that sort of thing, I think the fact that Barbie is just even in the contention of Best Picture is a pretty well-received recognition. So for sure. for the type of movie it's aiming to be.
I love the I'm Just Ken song. That would be cool if that won too, or somehow was able to win. But I know, yeah. I know that Billie Eilish is probably the front runner on that.
Yeah.
But I do know that Ryan Gosling's going to sing the I'm Just Ken song there.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Like, it's got like a bunch of backup dancers, so I guess they're going to recreate kind of how it was in the movie. And did you know that Slash does the guitar for that song?
Oh, no. That's amazing.
It is. It's like if you go back and if you watch the...
Of course he did.
Right. But if you go back and watch the not the scene from the movie, but they have like an official video that's like got a lot of the making of it in there mixed in.
Oh, okay.
And they show like Slash in it. And it's and that's how I was like, oh gosh, Slash, that's awesome. So
yeah, that's fun.
It's the part where it speeds up and goes fast. They got a heavy guitar riff. Mm-hmm. Where because they switch keys, like it's like three different songs in one when they do that. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved Barbie. I consider Barbie to be an original screenplay. Like, I wish they could both win, but if they're in the same category, I think American Fiction is going to beat Barbie. Mm-hmm. Even though Barbie was fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to The Holdovers, which you said was one of your favorites outside of Barbie.
Yeah. Go ahead. I just kind of this, you know, definitely has an ode to 70s films. It's not even trying to hide the fact, but you know, it's a deep character story of these three different people, very different people, but you know, all are struggling with similar issues. And I think what I just loved most about it was that in a short time frame, they go through big character changes, but I felt like it was all very justified, where in a lot of movies you're like, did that person really change all that much? And so I just thought the journey that these three characters take just were both like realistic, but also the movie, it just leaves you with a good feeling, but the people aren't like perfect all of a sudden. They're just still going to have their issues, but this is definitely a moment in time that will define them going forward. And I just, this type of movie, the tone, you know, drama/comedy, it's just my type of movie. Just kind of had a real big auteur type of feel to it. And yeah, I loved it.
I liked it as well. And it's another comedy, not as comedic as like American Fiction, not trying to be.
Right. Yeah.
And of course, I like Paul Giamatti and Alexander Payne. I think they're always great when they're together. I read something. I kept looking at like Paul Giamatti's eyes in The Holdover because they talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
And it made me to the point where I was like, does Paul Giamatti have eyes like that for real? Like I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking about his past. I was like, does he have that? So it's not. And apparently, it's like a big deal on how they did it. Alexander Payne and Paul Giamatti are kind of secretive about how they achieve that effect. Okay. It's not real.
But
it's not CG. So I'm guessing they use some type of like contact lens or something to do that. I don't know why that stuck out with me, but it stuck out with me so much that it was like making me question it. So that's why I went and researched it. And like, again, they haven't really directly answered it.
How
they achieved it. But anyway, so I did really like the script for that though. And I liked the way it was shot, the 70s style. In fact, it very realistically captured that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I read that it was shot digitally, that they had to make it look like that, which kind of surprised me. I would have assumed that they would have shot on, would assume they shot it on the film and tried to, you know, replicate that, but they did it digitally. Okay, so the next one is Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Well, I loved this movie. I thought it was very good. I thought, considering the source material, how Scorsese decided to frame it, I will say, you know, living here in Oklahoma, it's hard, you know, you kind of almost can't help but get a little bit more personally attached to it. But yes, it has a long runtime. I've said, like, I loved Oppenheimer. I felt the time in that with the Killers of the Flower Moon. I didn't. Like, I just thought everything existed for a reason. It moved. I thought it just really just portrayed an important part of our history.
This is one of the ones I'm kind of conflicted on. They changed so much of it. I'd heard about DiCaprio coming in and decided to rewrite the character. And I thought they were going to make it more about, you know, the Osage people from their perspective. And really, the way I saw it is they made the DiCaprio character, they made it more central to him.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I was disappointed that they decided, I don't know why they decided to do that kind of thing at the end where it was like a 1920s like show, like a radio show. I don't know why they did that, because they basically showed none of the courtroom drama, none of that. They just summarized it. And it's like, when you're talking about a movie that's over 3 hours and you're summarizing huge parts of the original story, that kind of, I didn't like that as much.
Yeah, I think we could really spend a lot of time dissecting it. Because I will say at the end, the ending did kind of like made me pause a little bit. But I think that was his attention at that there are these huge moments of history that essentially get swept under the rug. Like, I can't tell you how many Oklahomans that I've talked to here who like were born and raised here that were like, yeah, we were never taught this story at all. And I think that radio show is almost kind of a stand-in of like how quick, not just this story, but all sorts of stories in history of how it's like we sum it up in like 2 minutes with like little, sound effects, and then this happened. Can you believe this? And then we go on. And I think it's almost intentionally there. And then the last shot, goes away from that. And it's just this zoom up of the Osage tribe doing one of their tribal dances. And I think that's bringing us back to the fact of that these were real people, that affected this change. So that's how I interpreted it.
Okay, so next one is Maestro.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be honest, I didn't love this movie. This is
yeah
one that felt really slow to me, and it wasn't even that long of a movie.
yeah
The problem I had is that I didn't walk away like feeling that I knew much about the man, because the movie doesn't.
Yeah.
I was talking to my wife about it, and the movie is really just like random scenes in his life throughout the years, is the best way
Yeah.
I can say it. It's
Yeah.
not. Sometimes I was watching a scene, I'm like, well, why are we even being shown this? Like, what is this? How is this pushing the story forward? How is it expanding his character?
Yeah.
I don't know if you felt that way or not. Like, it
Yeah.
didn't seem like they showed like what made him so great.
Yeah. No, I agree. I do think, I probably liked this movie more than like other people. And then when I started kind of hearing other people's thoughts, like I totally understand the perspective. I mean, this is a movie. Yeah. It more so focuses on his relationship with his wife than with the man itself. And I do agree there could have been a better balance there. I enjoyed it in the sense that like, man, it's just Bradley Cooper is just going for it. And
Yes.
so there's, I thought there were a lot of like masterful scenes in it that like I will remember. Like I particularly remember there's a scene where he's talking to his daughter and flat out lies to her, but it's a really like heavy scene because it sits with him and all this kind of stuff. But then you have another scene where he's conducting, I don't know the name of the score, but I mean it is just like triumphant and the camera's moving around and he can, and that's really cool. But that's the I think the problem with this movie is like there's all these like great scenes, but they don't have the same style or flow to them. And so it's like it's almost like Bradley Cooper's like, and I want to try this, and I want to try this, and I want to try this, and then I'm gonna star in it. And so it does feel like, if it was like reined in, I think it could have been a great movie. But I saw that I really appreciated the cool things that it was doing,
When they showed like the real clips of him at the end during the credits, it's like, well, you could really see that. I mean, Bradley Cooper mastered that, the expressions, the pat, everything. So again, yes, it's just I still feel a little bit disconnected from it, but I appreciate the artistic endeavor and all the challenges that went into it. So I definitely wasn't my favorite. I don't see it winning anything, unfortunately, for Bradley Cooper. But anyway, okay, so let's move on to Oppenheimer. I feel like this is going to be the one to win Best Picture.
Yeah, for sure.
I also feel like Christopher Nolan's probably finally going to get an Oscar for director.
For sure.
We talked about Gillian's going to win Best Actor. I think we're thinking the same thing that Robert Downey Jr. is going to win Supporting Actor. Yeah, I see this winning a ton of awards. I liked it, and like I said, I read the book after the movie, and I think that's helped me appreciate it a lot more. Because it's like when I first saw the movie, I knew very little about Oppenheimer. I roughly knew the story, but it was hard to kind of keep up with the style of the movie because it's the whole thing that Christopher Nolan is kind of famous for messing with time and going back and forth and playing around with it in different editing styles, kind of like what he did in Dunkirk, and I mean, all his movies do that to an extent. And so that was hard at first, but when I read the book, I feel like I understand the characters a little more, because sometimes this movie will switch back and forth decades in the same scene to show you the emotional connection and the I liked it. I don't know that it's my favorite of the year, but I think it will win Best Picture and probably cinematography. It was shot in these very specific formats, like Kodak had to invent an IMAX black and white film. So they invented stuff for this movie, and I just don't know. I don't know that it needed it. Like, it's like yes, it's a good looking film, but are we picking for cinematography because of these things it invented or because it actually like used the camera in really interesting ways? I don't know. That's kind of a hard one. I do think this will win that though, just because of all the talk that's been about how it looks in the IMAX.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah, definitely up for cinematography, production design. And I think it's got, sound, not visual effects, but
that surprised. That actually surprised me because that was another thing they mentioned about how it how it didn't use like a lot of heavy CG to do the things.
Film editing. Yeah, not my personal favorite, but for it, like it's going to win the things that it's going to win. Like I don't at all like fault it like at all. Like, you know what I mean? So
No, it's a good movie. I did feel the pacing on this one. It did feel a little slower. And all that, but it's extremely well done. So that'll be, and you know, Christopher Nolan is one of my favorite directors, and it'll also be, if Downey Jr. wins, that'll be cool. Like, you know, this whole career comeback thing he's had since Iron Man, that'll be really cool. All right, let's move on to Past Lives, which is the one that I just finished. I really, really like this movie. But I will say I had to go back and check this afterwards because I was expecting some big twist. In the beginning, they show like that the first scene is they show like the people in the bar and they're wondering how how the people it flashes back and it says 24 years earlier. Well, when I was first watching it, I thought it said 24 hours earlier. And so the whole movie I'm watching it and I'm like, okay, so there's kids. And then there's a part on the subway where they like the main character like leaves and they focus on this older man on the subway. And I kept thinking there was going to be some time travel thing to this. I really did. I was like, oh, that old man's going to be him from the future. I was expecting this twist. And then like it's not. And that's OK. I had to go back and I rewatched parts of it. It was like 24 years earlier. And I was like, OK, that's different. I did really like it, though. In a lot of ways, it reminded me about Everything, Everywhere, All at Once and how you have different lives and different choices you make along the way and how they will extremely affect that. Like in this one, you know, her family leaves Korea when she's 12. And so it changes her whole life because she was in love with her friend there at the time. And she'd already talked about marrying him, you know, even at 12.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's a movie that will stick with you and just kind of make you kind of think about some things. Cause I don't think it's necessarily a relationship. It might've been like, you know, a job prospect that you thought you had or turned down or something. Everybody, I think, has that moment where they go back, like, what if I had made that, like that choice or that decision? And so I really liked the themes that it explored. It's a very, I like that comparison to Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, because it's two completely vibes and two different types of paces, but it's touching on the same things. And so I've jokingly said, I really like this movie a lot. I told my wife, Whitney, I think you'd really like this movie, but you will not be able to watch it if you're tired at all. It's a quiet, it's a soft, you know, it's a
unless you think it's a time travel movie and you're trying to figure out the plot and how the twist is going to happen.
Well, it's funny because they do talk about these very, they have a Korean saying about, you know, these past lives. So it does kind of almost like touch on, not supernatural. So
it does.
I can totally see like how you were starting to read into that.
Another movie it reminded me about is, reminded me of is Castaway. And when Tom Hanks comes back to Helen Hunt at the end of that movie and she's got a whole life that it's the same thing. And you're like, you know, they still love each other and you, it's like, oh, what's going to happen? And that was definitely, I thought of that too, but all right. So Poor Things, which, you said you haven't seen. Actually, we're going to end with, we begin and end with two that you haven't seen.
I know.
I absolutely love this movie. I love this movie. It is a lot though. And it is definitely, it's a dark comedy and it's bizarre and it's out there and it's kind of a combination of Frankenstein and Big. If you can picture that. I suspect that a lot of people would find this movie extremely off-putting and not like it at all. So it's one of those, it's like, it's hard for me to recommend. to certain people, especially certain people. But
he is not for everybody, and I always tell people that about his movies. You have to, it's but yeah, I'm really excited because I've heard great things about this one. So.
And visually, it is stunning. I mean, I for me, this would be the one that would win a ton of stuff. But I do think there is a strong chance this could win production design and all that because it's good. And I really like the music too. Anyway, so let's see. So the last one, which we said you haven't seen either.
The Zone of Interest.
The Zone of Interest. I'm very mixed about this movie as well.
I've heard it's tough.
It's a true story of this German family. Presumably they're Nazis. The dad definitely is. And he's one of the leaders of Auschwitz concentration camp. The family literally has a house on the residence on the campsite that's like literally has a border wall with Auschwitz. That whole area around it is called the Zone of Interest. Apparently, that's what the Nazis called it. The entire movie takes place in their house, and it's showing you their very mundane life and how they're able to just ignore all that. There's literally gunfire happening all the time, screams happening all the time, fire burning. But it's really just about their very average, boring lives with Auschwitz as the kind of context, the elephant in the room, so to speak. But that makes the movie incredibly slow. I do get that's the point of it, but it almost makes it inaccessible. It's like this very deliberate pace to make a point. But it's one of those hard things.
Yeah.
So let's just recap this all then real quick. So I think we're pretty much in agreement on all this. We both think Oppenheimer's going to win Best Picture.
Yeah.
We think that Christopher Nolan's going to win Best Director.
Correct.
We think that Cillian Murphy's going to win Best Actor.
Yes.
We think that Lily Gladstone's going to win Best Actress.
I think so.
What is it? Supporting. Supporting actor, Robert Downey Jr.?
Yes.
Supporting actress. Did we even talk about that?
We didn't, but I think it's gonna be Divine Joy Randolph from The Holdover. She's won everything else.
Really?
This year, so
yeah, that's right. And she was really good in The Holdovers too. Yeah. She was definitely one of the more interesting characters. And and her relationship with Paul Giamatti's character was really interesting too.
Yeah.
I think we're pretty solid on those.
Yeah.
Now, as far as our personal choices, you would have picked The Holdover for Best Picture. Go ahead.
That's like, you know, I do a star rating. Ultimately, when I look at this list, like Barbie and The Holdovers were like 5 stars for me. And as far as like Best Picture, I lean towards The Holdovers, but I would never make the argument necessarily that it's more of that's a personal like pick for me.
Poor Things would probably be my top choice. Who do you think for director then? Would you have said director should have been was Alexander Payne even nominated? I don't think he was he?
No, he wasn't. No.
Who would your personal choice have been director?
I really do think Nolan deserves the award. That's saying I haven't seen Poor Things, but I wouldn't be surprised if Poor Things was, once I see it, one of my favorites of the year. I think Nolan definitely deserves it. I mean,
it's a bigger, more epic movie. Yeah, I guess I'd go with Nolan. Okay, so then actor, would you say Cillian then?
Yeah, I think so.
I actually thought you would have said Paul Giamatti.
I kind of think Divine Joy Randolph will kind of represent The Holdovers like that. Yeah. And
You were talking about the understatement. So I get that, you said Cillian. Yeah. We talked about that, but for some reason, I thought your personal pick would have been, you'd been pulling for Giamatti.
No. I think Oppenheimer, I was totally impressed by what he pulled off. I almost thought that it was more difficult of that acting jobs. So,
and then for actress, I said Emma Stone would be my choice, but I think it's going to be Lily Gladstone.
Yeah.
Supporting actor, I really want Ryan Gosling to win for Ken. That would be amazing, but I think it's going to be Downey Jr. And it's good too, but if I had my choice, I would have probably put Ryan Gosling, and especially winning for an out and out comedy. that no one thought would. I mean, when people, when Barbie was first announced, I think people thought it was a joke. So, and then, yeah, supporting actress. I agree with you on that. So, all right. Well, so those are the predictions. And, I know this was a kind of a different type of year, but I think maybe we're giving people more insight instead of just like regurgitating what all the awards have said. And so, I hope more people are watching the Oscars. I know that I feel like people are starting to really hating on the Oscars every year.
Yeah.
And it's less and less. But, you know, when you've got a year like this where you've had Barbie and Oppenheimer that were extremely popular and Ryan Gosling's going to sing, maybe more people will tune in.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people are more familiar with the movies as a whole. I think Jimmy Kimmel has shown himself to be a good host. I think it will be, and honestly, I think out of the Best Pictures, even nominees, even though I haven't seen all of them, you could easily say that all of these are goodish to great movies.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a surprisingly like good movie year. And so I think people will tune in.
Do you want to plug anything from your podcast, Nathan, since we didn't do it earlier?
Yeah, website is moviesarelife.com. You could easily find everything there. But yeah, we're just a weekly podcast. So anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find us. And we kind of go back and forth between we've been hitting a 50 best rom-coms list, but then sometimes touching kind of movies that are experiencing anniversaries, milestones, and sometimes some newer movies. So yeah, we have a lot of fun there.
All right, cool. Thanks, Nathan. We'll see you guys later. Thanks. Have a good one.
Thanks for having me on. Yeah. Bye.